Okay, so hello everyone again, and welcome in our ARIES weekly JavaScript call. As always, there is antitrust policy, so read it and be aware of it. And let's go ahead. Maybe I'm not sure if I see new names or faces in the list. So if there is anyone new in here who would like to introduce himself, now it's a good time to do so, but it's up to you, of course. You don't have to do that, but
there he is.
Timo is here. Okay, so I think we can start. The first point at the agenda is this one, and I edited it by myself because I'm curious about it and I don't know. I wanted to ask you if anyone does know if the AFJ holder like capability is interoperable with other frameworks like AKAPI or Trinzic, respectively .NET framework or other frameworks. Does anyone have some like information about this interoperability? Let's say that I want to build a mobile agent with AFJ and interact with Trinzic Studio or how they call it. Is it possible to do so?
Should be possible. We've done quite some testing on it. We have, of course, the ARIES agent test harness that tests for interop. We've tested it for issuing and verifying. With our demo that we built, and that works with the Trinzic and the Lissy wallet. It works with more, but sometimes it's restricted. I think also connect.me we verified. And for the other side, yeah, we also verified. It definitely works with AKAPI, most tested, mm-hmm. but it also works with Trinzic.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'm gonna test it probably sometime soon. So I was just curious about that. So it seems like it should work. So there are any known issues. Great. So the next issue credential V2, I left it here. I'm not sure what's the progress. So because I wasn't here last time. Mike. I think it's up to you. So
let me give a short status update, and I've got a couple of questions as well. So I'll keep it fairly short. The status update is that this week I have completed the last remaining message types, which were those related to the auto accept stuff. I moved a load of essentially, to begin with, copied a load of functionality into the format service related to the credential response coordinator. So there's duplicate code, which I'll take out over the coming days. That's not a problem. And then in the last day or two, I've been looking at the DIDCOM message repository, and all that's done. It all works. I have this one bizarre failure of the test, which I showed Timo earlier on, whereby the tests all work individually, but when you run them together, you start getting the strange duplicate messages. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet, team. I will do so first thing tomorrow morning because I wanted to get this kind of working. And I figured that it wasn't, I don't think it's a serious enough problem to prevent the release. So I've packaged up the tar file. I've done a yarn build this afternoon, and I've given that across to the Ontario guys to start testing with. So that's a fairly major milestone. And obviously that's good news. And what that means for me is that I can now focus on, over the next few days, doing all of those tidy up things that I promised I would do but put off because I wanted to get the functionality working. So if I may share my screen, I've got a couple of questions.
Yes.
Okay, so there we go. Okay, so Right. So if we look at the folder structure, just to remind people that the folder structure is not consistent with what Kareem and Prashad have done on the proof side. So one of the first tasks will be to make the interfaces and the folder structures as consistent as possible with what they've done. And I kind of quite like what they've done. So I'll change my stuff to reflect theirs rather than kind of, insist on the other way around or anything like that. In V1, I've still got this V1 legacy credential service. So the V1 credential service I kind of built as a very thin wrapper class and just sort of mapped the old style in parameters in the method calls to our new interfaces and just passed the message call on. And I did that in order to avoid breaking the unit tests, which proved to be a good strategy because all the unit tests all the way through I've been able to run. Now that I've got stuff done, what I want to do is take this class out and move everything into here. The other thing I've got is this credential modules thing. You can see I prefixed every method name with old to remind me of what had been done and what still needed to be done, again, for purposes of maintaining the unit tests. They're all done now, so I'm going to take this credential module class completely out and replace it with the new one. So we'll have the new interface here. So this has got, if I go to the top, these are all the new, this is the new interface. So everything's done except this one. And I believe that the initiating the credential exchange with a request is something that is only valid for W3C, and you can't do that. It needs an offer in there. So I decided to leave that one. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but it does seem to say that in the spec. And Kareem and I had a look at that, and we thought that was correct. So I haven't done that one yet, but I'll do that one in phase two. What else on my list? There's a few other tidying up exercises to do as well. So what I intend to do is try to get the code as close as possible to something that I would be happy to put into the PR. Might take me a few days. So I guess sometime next week I'll hopefully put a PR in, and maybe comments and bugs and stuff to fix as a result of any testing that they might do as well. But we're kind of going into this sort of end game now, which is quite good. So I've got a couple of questions related to the DIDCOM message stuff. And I kind of really just wanted to make sure that I've understood this correctly. So let me have a look at one particular class as an example. So I've got this handler class here. So if you look at request credential handler, and this code here has got the DIDCOM message repository. It will obtain an offer message, or propose message, and a request message. Or request messages there on the basis of the credential record ID that's passed in. Now, the first thing that struck me as slightly odd is the fact that if you don't find a record, it throws this no record found error, which is fine, and except that that is perfectly normal in certain situations. You may have a handler that where there's no proposed message. The offer handler, for example, there may not have been a propose, and so on and so on. So you quite often hit this. And I was just wondering whether that, first of all, I've done that correctly. And the reason I put try-catch blocks around all of them is because if the first one were to fail, it would jump over the others if I surround them all with a try-catch, which I found to my cost when I did that and couldn't work out why one of the messages wasn't getting retrieved. So the question is, first of all, is that the correct way of doing it with the no record found error? And secondly, for Timo, I suppose, my question would be, why would we want to throw an error when it's perfectly normal to not find these sure. messages in the situation?
I can answer that pretty quickly. I think I added a message or a method that is called find agent message or something, and it returns null if it's not found. So I added a specific message. I might not have pushed it yet, at least not too many.
Yeah, because I looked at your code, and if you look in my version of the repository, I don't have that. So I'm figuring you have a different version of the DIDCOM.
I added it because I needed it.
Right. So you're probably kind of thinking the same way I did, that you would rather, if it returns null, though. Is that what we want to do, return null if it doesn't find anything?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Timo, is that kind of what you think, that we should return null rather than throw an error when the messages aren't found?
Well, we have a different difference in AFJ, where if you do find, it can return null. If you do get, it throws an error. So we should add a new method that Karim already created, find agent message, that returns null if it isn't found.
Right. Now, the other thing then is I've defined these as undefined. So how does it, this is a TypeScript question, I suppose, and forgive me if this is a silly question, but how would you map null to undefined, if you like? Because otherwise the compiler complains that it doesn't know how to do that. Or am I missing something there?
And where do you need to map that? Or,
well, what I've done here is I've created, the reason, in case anyone's wondering, that I've created these things as member attributes on the class is because what I found was if I didn't do that, I was then calling this thing twice because it was being done potentially. It would, previously, there were, of course, all these things were inside the credential record, and you would just pass the credential record into this should auto respond thing, and then that class would get them out. So you just pass the credential record in, and that didn't work very well. So rather than do this twice in here and muck around passing the DIVCOM message repository around as well, I just pass them all in. And it works fine. I think that's an okay way to do it. But it does kind of make these, there's a trade-off here, isn't there? Before, we had everything in one big kind of monolithic object called credential record, but you didn't have to call get agent message multiple times all over the place, and you kind of didn't have to have more parameters on your method call. But I think that's fine. So I decided to make these member attributes and just pass them in into this thing, where it will basically decide what.
Oh yeah, sorry for intro, but I do think if you set it on as a class global, the handler is created once for the whole agent. So if we're processing multiple credential requests at the same time, they all share the same DIS. So that could cause conflicts if you're processing multiple messages at the same time.
All right, so what's the better way of doing it then?
Passing it along, I think, retrieving it and then passing it along, or yeah, sending it on an object. Or
so you mean take these, they shouldn't be member variables?
No.
Right. Okay. I mean I can just do it each side, they don't have to be. I think I just did it that way to make life a bit easier, to avoid having to pass it around all over the place. But yeah, that's an easy change. Okay. If you think they should just be local variables, then fine. Yeah, I can do it that way as well. I guess. All right. Just having a look at my list, see if I've got any more questions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question. I'm sorry. I have a question to this code. Maybe it's a question for Tim also. But what shouldn't we have some method to get all messages for a given record ID? Because it seems to me that it would be convenient to not, we could avoid those like calling, you know, to database three times in this method.
That reminds me of a kind of related question, because we do this call here, get agent message, and we pass in the message class and the record ID. But what would happen if you, can you not have more than one offer and propose message on the same credential exchange? So how would that work? Because I don't see how, or I missed something there.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
Yeah, Karim, I think Karim solved this already in his local branch. Is you just override the previous one for now, we thought. Because that's what we did previously.
I see, because you just set like offer message in the credential record and just set it, overwrote it.
Yeah, there is a save or update agent message method. It makes sense because you don't need all messages that are disregarded anyway.
Can you make a pull request of that, of the changes to the DIVCOM
messages? Yeah, why do I do that to main?
To main, because this is already in main also.
Okay, so cool. I will do it now.
So I suppose the question there is, where you have multiple offers and proposals bouncing backwards and forwards, is there any reason why you would ever want to kind of maintain like that sort of audit trail of, I guess the answer of what you're saying is no, you only really care about the latest ones. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So, Jakob, you had a related question there. Sorry to steal your thunder, but come back to that.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, if I like, it seems to me that how it's done right now, it's not possible to return all messages for a given record because we are doing some transformation inside get agent message right now, like transformation from record to instance, particular instance. But and, you know, I'm curious if I see this like calling like three times, I'm curious if it wouldn't be worth it to have, not right now, but eventually have some method which would return all messages for a given record ID. Then I assume that we would need to store the type of the message into the message record. I'm not sure if it's there already, but what do you think about this? You
can replace this with like one call and it gives you all three rather than have to call it three times. Yeah.
I mean,
we could create, and what I mainly wanted to do now is to get the storage of it right, so we don't have to change it that much. But yeah, we could make a method, a convenience method, that you say, I want to have all the messages, and then you get an object back with the keys like offer message, request message, proposal message, and then you can use them everywhere.
Yeah, that would be good. It is worth pointing out that this is the worst case scenario. Most times, in most of the handlers, you maybe only make one or two of these calls. The request credential handler happens to be the one where you kind of need all three. So it's not too bad, but yeah, that's a good idea. There's one other thing, Timo, we were talking about earlier in the week, weren't we? And that was I had this question earlier in the week where if you've got multiple formats on the message, let's say you have Indy and JSON LD, and you would loop round those, and you would then be looking at the auto respond. And the question then would be, how do you decide whether to auto respond given that there are two potentially conflicting formats going on? I think what I did here was, on the basis of Timo's advice for the moment, just basically say, if they all conform to this auto respond logic, then you auto respond. But that's just a temporary thing. And Timo, I think we said we would talk about that today, did we not? So if anyone's got any thoughts on that one, I think that's what we said.
So yeah, how we should approach the auto response for V2 with multiple formats.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something that needs to be urgently addressed because, of course, as we know, we don't have the multiple formats for the moment, but we will have them very soon. And is this something that, is it done in Akapai? Is there something, is it that's got the same thing or not?
Yeah. Well, no, Akapai doesn't have it completely the same how auto accept works. But I think for now, like, easiest would be just be to everything should match for auto accept to complete. Because it is said that the format should be equal. If you have an Indy and a JSON LD format, they should have the same contact content, but for the different formats. So if I want to issue a passport credential, they should both reflect a passport credential, but the structure is different. So if one changes along the way and the other doesn't, that's weird because they're not in line. So I think all should match probably.
Okay. I'm just having a look at...
I'm not sure if that makes sense. I would like to hear what others think about it.
Okay. The logic got an order of magnitude more complex in the format service for V2 than it was before because I don't have access to the credential definition ID anymore. So I had to go down and get all this stuff out. So you might want to have a look at this, team, at some point and cast your eye over this because it looks nasty, but it's because it's just simply no other way of doing it as far as I could see.
If it's really complex, this is what we also did in the first iteration of the credential implementation. It's like the first implementation didn't have auto accept, and we added that later on. Just because I think, this is kind of complex and there's multiple formats, and how do we determine for a format whether you want to auto accept it? I think there's a lot of complexities there that maybe we shouldn't all try to fix at once.
Yeah, agreed. I created this, what I call a credential payload, and it's just an object that can have either a credential or an offer or a propose or a request all in one thing, and uses generics, and then you go down inside that and pull out the bit that you want, which works fine, but it's a little bit kind of complex. But I guess it's because the simplicity of having the credential definition idea at the top level, you can't have that anymore because in V2 that's an indie specific concept, so that's inevitable that it was going to have to be done something like that. Okay. Unless anybody's got any more questions on that subject, I've just got one more question I want to ask, and then I'll stop talking. And that is related to the tests. I've got let me see if I can find it. Most of them are commented out now. So if I can just comment them all back in, and I can probably make it a bit clearer what's going on. Okay, so this kind of thing here, this was something that was present in the previous V1 tests, and it would look at the credential record and interrogate this message structure. Now, of course, we can't do that anymore. So my question would then be, if I wanted to pull out the message, I would need to go into the DIDCOM message repository inside this test and compare the contents of that message with this stuff. So the question then is that something that we would want to do in the tests? And if we do, how do we kind of inject a DIDCOM message repository into unit tests? It wasn't obvious to me how we would do that. Is that something we would want to do?
I think if we need to check it, we probably want to interact with the DIDCOM message repository here. How you can do it is you have the injection container, and from there you can inject internals from the framework. So on agent.injectioncontainer.resolve, you can resolve the injection container.
That can be done. The reason why it wasn't clear to me how to do that is simply because none of my tests have needed that mechanism for injecting stuff. So can we take this offline then, Timo, and you can maybe give me some help with that one? That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds like we want. Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Thank you. All right. I took a little bit longer than I expected. But that's some good stuff there. Thank you, guys. I'll hand back.
Yeah, I have a question for this test. So you, if I understand it correctly, you want to compare that, like not compare, you want to verify that you stored given message into the message repository. Is it correct? Or
what it was before, it was simply you'd pull the message out of the credential record, and you would sort of compare it field by field, the JSON structure with what you expect in your test. So you're going down it, attribute by attribute, and saying this attribute has to be for this. It's equal to this, but now that we no longer store the messages in the credential record, we've got to get them from the DIDCOM message repository and then do the same comparison. That's not a problem, it's just getting it from a different place. And I it just wasn't clear to me how I get the DIDCOM message repository object into the classes, but Timo is saying there's a kind of injection type method to do. I figured there would be, I couldn't see how to do it just from having a quick look. So my question was really related to how I get that repository object inside the unit tests.
I see. Yeah, because usually I also sometime I also get into such similar problems when I want to confirm something which is inside the framework, and when you are working with end-to-end test level, you shouldn't be doing that. You should try to verify things with public API. But I understand that it's in this case, it's kind of practical to do it in this way with injection. So yeah, maybe it's good. Good approach, at least practical approach.
Yeah, because otherwise I was going to have to do something really horrible, like, you know, pass the message out into the... No. So yeah. Everything is normally, all the interaction with the credential repository is done in the actual code, and then you just pass the credential out and then you look at it. But now we can't do that for the messages. So yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, or maybe, Timo, I'm just idea. Shouldn't we have some public API to get those messages? Because you know, it's maybe related to the idea of having like credential exchange record. Then if I have credential exchange, maybe I would like to know what messages are part of this interaction. So then it would make sense to make it as public, like public API to get it, to get the message, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So then we wouldn't need to have this injection of the repository and comparing, but we should have like public API for getting the message, and then you can compare it, and you are using public API for test and for comparison in the test.
Yeah. Reason I think maybe for now we should use the injection container, because otherwise we would already need to think out how that API is gonna look, and we can better not rush that, I think. Rather use some of the internals now for the test and then start looking at the right how, when I write things on top of AFJ, how would I want to interact with those messages?
Yeah, of course. No problem. As I said, it's practical and it's good to do it in this way. I was just curious and you know, had idea about this. Okay, great. Mike, did you want to add anything else? I interrupted you.
I'm good. I'm done. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. So next, out of band and the exchange. That's my thing. So there is PR. For like merging the exchange protocol to out of band, Timo made a lot of comments there, a lot of great comments there. So I'm really, it's really helpful to have this feedback. So it's great, and it's helping. And I already did some of the suggestions. We should we don't have to go through them, I guess, right now. But what maybe I would like to ask is like these three, and I had another point, but I forgot what was it. I'm just curious what's really important to do before merging. I found out that it would be good to update the API. So as you demo suggested, I think it's good. It can be good to have create message and pass the object with everything. So not having the agent message as second parameter. But just I can make it bigger. So something like object with attachments, maybe request. Then it's related to handshake protocol. I'm not sure. I was thinking if we want to like provide. Let's say that the handshake protocol will be an array which the user can use to define what protocols to put there. What if you don't want to make a connection? You know, that was kind of my question when I was... That was the reason why... That was one of the reasons why I put just handshake protocol, just one. And if you don't put the handshake protocol, then we don't do a connection. So if we have it as an array of connect, of like handshake protocols you would like to use, then if there is no such array in that, would it mean that we don't want to do a connection, or we want to use default handshake protocols available?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it is important to be able to specify multiple protocols and not restrict it, because that's one of the advantages of the out of band message, is that you can specify multiple protocols to use. Yeah, I think either we should make it to, I think it's good also to have default value for the handshake protocols value. So either we can add another parameter, like whether we do a handshake and have handshake protocol have a default value where did exchanges first and connection second, for example, and you can override it. Or we make it a single parameter that can be true, an array, or false, where if it's true, it will take the default. If it is false, it won't use handshake. If it's an array, it will use those values for the handshake protocols. But I'm not sure if that's like a good API design.
Mm. Yeah, that's not so nice, but it seems the only option right now. The only option, I think. Unfortunately, I see that this is only option, I guess. Have like having some attribute that would say if you want to make a connection, and the second parameter to specify the protocols. Okay.
I mean, or we don't have a default value, but I think that like that would make it way more complex, because you need to specify which protocols to use to make a connection.
Sorry. What do you mean by that?
Like the other option would be to not have a default value for handshake protocols. Mm-hmm. That's how ECPI has it. And then if you don't define handshake protocols, it won't make a connection. And if you define handshake protocols, it will use these handshake protocols.
Okay.
But that means that every time you create an out-of-band invitation in ECPI, you need to specify the protocols, which you never remember from the top of your head. So you need to look them up, and it adds complexity.
I'm not sure about that. You know, I understand that point. That you need to call each time. You need to call some other method before that to get protocols. But like, it's a question if it's really that bad, or you know, if we compare those API, it's a question what API is better. Personally, I am like 55% for the like not having default. So the second approach.
I think personally, I would have the opposite.
I thought so.
And make the handshake protocols array not even configurable, because another agent will always pick the protocols you support. So then you would have to be a really special use case, and then you can always filter out the handshake protocols after you created the message, for example. I think my preference would go to default and then not make it configurable. So having a Boolean value.
Mm. Yeah, not sure about that. Because, you know, I don't know. Because if let's say that I would like in our use case, if I would like to use out of band right now, our backend doesn't support does support out of band, but not the exchange. Then okay, but if I send both protocols, then they should choose this the second one. Let's try it. Yeah, I know. I for because yeah, it's a problem, and it's kind of related to your other points with invitation, and because I'm creating the connection record here, and I thought that I need to define the protocol, but maybe I don't need to do it right now. I can do it like later. But I'm not sure about that. I need to look at it again. Overall, it seems that we should create an out-of-band record and get rid of this connection, like multi-use connection, I think, because it seems that it would be better with out-of-band record, and then would solve. Then we definitely solve to, you know, deciding what protocol before we create the connection. Okay, so I think whatever we choose right now, to me it won't be the best solution. Maybe it doesn't matter so much to you know overthink it, and then if we add the out of band record, it could help with it a bit. Okay, yeah. And another thing what's missing is, yeah, you mentioned something with DITCOM service and Indy, so I will look at it, this one. And last thing is the question about this peer DIT. As I understood it, we can, you know, if it's not inline peer DIT, if it's like peer DIT with num algo, I don't know, with Genesis, the document, then we want to have this field available and validate the signature. If it's inline peer DIT, my question is, we are not able to verify the signatures. I guess there is no JWS signature, right? In that, or am I wrong, or I don't know. I guess that there are no signatures if it's like inline peer-DIT. Maybe it doesn't make sense to have signatures there.
Yeah, but that's weird. Then in some cases you would sign it and in some cases you wouldn't.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. It seems like there are no signatures in inline peer-DIT, because you just, you know, create that from that encoded field, you create the DIT doc, and that there is no signature basically, right?
No, but that seems weird to me. So maybe
okay,
it should have a. It should have a DIT document.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, because I double checked this one before the call, because it seems, yeah, if it's resolvable either inline or publicly, DIT doc attached attribute shouldn't be. Yeah, so maybe also, you know, with public DID, if it's resolvable, you won't verify signatures. So maybe also with this case, you don't have to do that. I don't know.
I think with DIT document, it makes sense. That's on the ledger, it makes more sense, because you assume that the ledger has verified that the entity has the key. But yeah, it's weird. Maybe we should open an issue about it in the RIs. I don't know.
I can ask about this in RFCs issues. And so, but for now, I guess we will allow only numalgo with Genesis, right? That seems like good solution for now. So that means we would expect the doc attachment.
I don't know if you added a check for it, because I think otherwise also method two is supported, right?
Yeah, this is method two. Inline yeah. period is yeah. Yeah, I'm there is some check. I need to double check it if it's just for Genesis numalgo. But I wanted to be sure about this, because I wanted to, you know, check it and update it eventually for more numalgos. But yeah, it seems it's just right now it's only for the one with Genesis Genesis document. Okay, great. So maybe Timo, if you have, I don't know, if you have, and if you see that there is anything, if there is more things which are really important to have it before merge, maybe let me know, or you know, I will do some commits with those updates, and then I will ping you if it's good, or if you know already about anything right now, just let me know. Or Yeah,
cool.
Okay, and I think that's it. Yeah, I had another point, I guess, but I forgot. So let's move on. I left here proof present proof directory structure. I'm not sure if you want to discuss it today. And I also left here revocations and multiple version of the same protocol. So I don't know what you went through last week. So yeah, maybe I'm asking for help from you guys. What do you want to discuss? If anything from those, I don't know. So,
Karim? I guess Karim will be having something for present proof.
Yeah. Yeah, Karim, do you have anything to discuss regarding the present proof directory structure or present proof
by no. itself? We discussed that last time, and that was just okay. About I moved some stuff around, or last time, I think the time before even, moved some stuff around as Mike also mentioned, regarding the present proof stuff, I am now finishing up with the V2 service, so I refactored a bit of Prasad's V1 service. So it's a puzzle to get all the arguments and the input parameters all in order, so I did that, and I'm now working on the process messages or the process methods, which is also tricky because we have different formats, and that negotiation is interesting. I don't have any particular question I think that is useful to discuss here, as we only have a few minutes left.
Okay. So okay, that. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the update. Okay, so next thing is revocation. I'm not sure what's the status there. I saw some PRs and comments in PRs, but I haven't looked at them. So is there anything? Is James here? It's not in here. So yeah, maybe.
Oh.
You can go.
I can give a short update on the revocation. It's now working for Node.js and React Native. There were some bugs, but we were able to discover them. So I think everything is ready now. to, yeah, basically to merge. I think the only problem that we currently have is that there are no tests and that it's hard to test and that we should find something for, yeah, for that. Because now if we change anything, we don't know if we broke anything related to replication.
Yeah, yeah, I see. Okay, great. And the last thing, I allow to support multiple versions of the same protocol.
That's an outdated one, I think.
Yeah, it's not needed.
No, we already discussed that.
Yeah. Okay, and do we know how to approach this already?
Yeah. Now, well, the idea now was to still define message classes with a specific version, as we did before, and that we just parse it. We parse it, and then we like change, like we do a regex or something to verify whether it's in the same major version of the protocol. I think that could work. Yeah.
Okay.
Or you should define it as like, we should start defining message types as 2.x or something, where we replace the x.
Okay. All right, look at it. Great. So yeah, open PRs and AMA. Are there any open PRs you would like to discuss? I think there are many, but we went through some of them already. Okay, if not, then questions and answers right now. Does anyone have any question?
I think we never get to the AMA, do we?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing times. Okay, great. So I think that's all for today. So we are nice 8 minutes earlier. So that's great. You can get back to work. So thank you for being here. And yeah, have a nice Friday weekend and see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.